I don't know shit about Facebook. I started an account late last year to promote my website. Not much happened. I plugged my Facebook address pretty much everywhere I went, and while fans trickled in, one or two even shared some of the content that I posted, my page wasn't growing nearly as quickly as I'd hoped. Fast forward a couple of months. Same problem. In total, my page was stuck around 100 likes. The majority of those were from the first week I started the page, and a bunch of nice Reddit users felt sympathy for me and visited, clicked like, and never came back. I can't blame them, to be honest. I was in a creative rut. Very little new content was coming out, and what did reach completion was nothing but a rehash of older, more popular stories. Ones that I'd done in the past. I was hoping to piggyback on their successes. It didn't work. It was obvious that interest was waning. All this was coming at a bad time. My Tumblr, which had done spectacularly well for the first few months of its existence, was also stagnating. Followers were disappearing. Again, I can't blame them. Why follow a blog that just reposts old stories without putting anything out that's new or interesting? I'd reached a point where I was starting to think writing wasn't for me. I'd have to rethink everything I'd envisioned for my future. Out of nowhere, sometime in April, I got a notification on Facebook that my page had been mentioned. I clicked through and was astonished to find that a page with nearly 10 million fans had posted one of my older stories, and had credited my own Facebook page as the content creator. Messages and likes came in droves, friend requests too. I didn't know what to do with all the newfound interest in my work. My creativity hadn't been piqued by it all, but my enthusiasm had reemerged. I chatted with people who messaged me. I gave advice to aspiring writers, despite not really believing any of what I was saying, and I even agreed to collaborate with another semi-well-known author in a piece at some point in the fall. As April progressed, more and more people were visiting my page and inhaling my old content. Each day I'd spent hours replying to notifications and messages, sometimes holding 10 real-time conversations at once. It felt good to be connecting with people again. It's something I hadn't really done at all since high school, and that was almost 20 years ago. I grew close with a few of the people that I'd been messaging. People from all over the world, in fact. We chatted about nothing and everything. We used a cliche that I despise but find impossible to avoid. The more we talked, the closer we got. There were about 25 people out of the hundreds who I already felt a connection with. I think it was mutual, too. We chatted together on Facebook, and then we started doing group emails. In May, Charles, one of the 25, suggested a meetup. Obviously, for some of them, it was impossible. Quite a few were too far away for that to be possible for them. But 8 or 9 of us were all within around 300 miles of one another. After working through some logistical issues, we made it happen. 7 people showed up. I got to meet 7 wonderful people. Charles, Lynn, Malcolm, Anita, Bev, Melly, and Raj. We met up at a small restaurant in the Tribeca area of New York City. We chatted, we laughed, we had an all-around fantastic time. I enjoyed myself and my new friends more than I can even express. But it was Bev who really stood out. We'd grown close online, but I never had any hope of getting much closer than that. But it all changed when we met. While we all shared stories and jokes and beers around the table, Bev and I held hands. She squeezed my fingers with her own, and I stroked her wrist toyed with her bracelet. During the brief glances we shared with one another, we both knew something special was happening. When it was obvious the night was coming to an end and everyone headed back to their respective hotel rooms or homes, Bev and I remained together. We headed back to our hotel room and let things take their natural course. It was truly wonderful. After it was all over, Bev got up from the bed to take a shower. I propped myself up with my laptop in my lap, happily reminiscing about the time not only she and I had spent together, but the time all eight of us had shared hours earlier. I decided to get on Facebook, leave individual messages for my new friends to show how much I appreciated them. While clicking through to where I needed to go, I realized I never even visited their pages before. We'd all just chatted either on my page or through email. I clicked on Malcolm's first. It was weird. A lot of his friends had posted some pretty depressing emo stuff on his wall. I wrote my little thank you paragraph, and then headed over to Charles' page. Same thing. Just sad. Sad stuff. I wrote my letter, I moved on. Lynn, Raj, and Millie's were the same. A strange feeling started inside of my chest and gradually bloomed outward, while goose flesh prickled my limbs. I clicked on Anita's wall. More depressing messages. One in particular caught my eye. "We'll always love you, Anita. You will always be our beautiful, sweet daughter." It was from her parents. Dated 2011. The feeling of discomfort and dread intensified. I went back to all the other pages that I'd just been to and scrolled down. All the depressing messages were from between 2009 and 2016. They all had something in common. They were all saying some variant of goodbye. Doing my best to control my breathing, I navigated to one page I hadn't visited yet. Bev. The message on her wall dated February 2nd, 2016. "God bless you and keep you. You were taken from us far too soon, sweet girl." A loud thud sounded from the bathroom, causing me to jump. I got up quickly, asking, "Bev? Bev, are you okay?" No response. I walked slowly towards the bathroom, a sense of doom weighing down on my body. I knocked on the door. No reply. Just the sound of water running. I turned the doorknob and entered the bathroom. The room was steamy and warm, with an intense, unpleasant odor. "Bev?" I asked. My head starting to spin with fear, I gripped the shower curtain between my thumb and forefinger and slowly pulled it open. I screamed. Hot water streaming down the remains of a bloated, rotting corpse. Stringy blonde hair was plastered to the side of a gray face with a purple tongue bulging through lips that looked like dark green banana slugs. Grayish yellow slime drooled from between her legs and puddled thickly near the drain. Before I could turn away, I threw up. I saw the bracelet on her wrist that I'd played with at the restaurant. I heaved and retched into the toilet, trying to tell myself that it was impossible and Bev was alive and normal and everything was okay. I closed my eyes, I turned around to face the tub, I made the sign of the cross, opening my eyes. I nearly fainted with relief. The bathtub was empty. I inhaled. The smell, for the most part, was gone. I sank to the floor, tried to collect myself. The horror I'd felt was replaced with an immediate concern for my own mental health. I didn't know if I should call 911 right away or go to the hospital first thing in the morning and get checked out. I dragged myself to my feet and headed toward the bedroom to lie down for a few minutes. As I crossed between the rooms, I glanced in the garbage can next to the sink. the used condom, sat inside like a deflated grub, covered in grayish yellow slime.